on his heart.
Thank you very much, Reverend Greg. You would turn to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. Could I thank your minister and the session for the kind invitation along to this convention. And we do thank you sincerely. I have had recent throat problems. We were over in Singapore and Malaysia at a camp to do with the church connected with the Reverend Paul Ferguson. I believe he was speaking here some weeks ago. This is our third time over there. We really enjoy the people, speaking 12 times though over that period, and my throat began to go there, and a little bit of trouble since we came back. But it's good to be here. We pray God will bless us. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter for time, of course. You'll see in verse 1 of Acts 10, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. He was a soldier. He was a Gentile. And in this chapter, you have Peter taking the gospel to a Gentile. Up to that time, the Jews were reticent about going to Gentiles. There were those in the church felt that a Gentile had to become a Jew in order to be part of the church. And of course, the Lord gave a vision to Peter when he was praying that the net let down from heaven with unclean animals. Arise, Peter, and eat. Peter said, but Lord, these are unclean. Remember, it's a vision here. And the Lord's message to him was, don't call unclean what he has called clean. In other words, the purpose of the vision was, go to the Gentiles. They are part of the church. Now, thank God for that, because I'm sure maybe all of us or most of us tonight here are Gentiles, and we are entered into the church with those believing Jews. But that's the background to the passage, and I just want to read a few verses. In verse 11, it says, and this is Peter, he saw heaven opened. I want you to note that. Verse 13, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is uncommon or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again, and the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Verse 19, while Peter thought in the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. What happens then is that Peter makes the journey to Caesarea Philippi to meet Cornelius and to speak. And I just want to read one more verse, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth. He opened his mouth. And we'll see, Lord willing, later in the week, he preached Christ. He preached Christ. With our Bibles open, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the hymns that have already been sung. Jesus is tenderly calling. O Lord, tonight we pray that thou would call some sinner unto thyself. Lord, we pray that thou would call to every one of us, that would hear the speaking voice. Lord, we have read here of how the Spirit spoke to Peter, how he was given the word of the Lord. And O Father, we ask tonight that thou would give us ears to hear. And Lord, that thou would speak to us. May we have that prayer, Master, speak, thy servant heareth. So do bless and guide us, we pray, in the Savior's name. Amen. I had to go to a doctor when I was over in Singapore, a member of one of the churches out there, lovely man. Day we flew home. Since I'm home, I've had some health problems with the throat and had to go to various doctors. So I've been thinking of medical checkups. I've had enough doctors over the last few weeks to do me for a few years, but it's been in my mind going to doctors, and so I thought of this convention. For this convention is an opportunity to have a spiritual checkup. Well, it is important, and they advise us whether we're feeling well or not. We ought to have a checkup from now and again of our physical health, because there are many think they're fine physically, yet when they get the test, they discover there are serious problems with their health. We could give many examples of that. And surely that's true spiritually. And far more important than health checks physically, we're here that the great physician would examine us. The psalmist prayed that. You remember in Psalm 139? Search me, O God. Search me, O God. Psalm 139:23, and know my heart, the spiritual part of me. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. He's saying, Lord, examine me. Surely that's what the convention's all about, is it not? Every time we hear the word of God, but when we come aside for a special week, how true that is. Now in Acts 10, you can see various physical features mentioned. And often in Scripture, God takes physical features and they're used in comparison to the spiritual. To the spiritual. Did you notice in the passage in verse 11, Peter saw heaven opened. He had spiritual eyes to see. Good eyesight. In verse 13, we could say his ear heard God's word. In verse 19, the Spirit spoke and he heard. His ear, he had good spiritual hearing. Ah, but then you read in verse 21, Peter went. His feet were obedient. His feet were obedient to the Lord's word. And then I mentioned in verse 34, Peter opened his mouth. Now, I don't want you to think I'm a physical wreck, but I thought of this passage because in the last few weeks, I've seen a doctor more than I have for years. I had a yearly test of my eyes. Some of you maybe get that if you have eye problems, you know, put drops, and also had an eye check. They're all okay. I had to go to a podiatrist yearly check to have my feet checked. Again, they told me they're all okay. So there's my eyes, my feet. On Friday, the doctor said, open your mouth. They looked in my mouth. And then he stuck the thermometer in your ear now, and then he put away, and he looked in the ear. So I've had my eyes, my ears, my feet. What did they leave out there? Eyes, ears, feet, mouth, all checked. But you know, this week, there's something more important. That God would check over my spiritual eyes, my spiritual hearing, my spiritual feet, my spiritual walk. Are you prepared for that this week? Are you asking the Lord to examine you? Of course, we test ourselves not against other people. Then we can say there's always somebody worse. No, we test ourselves against the perfect standard, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's perfect servant. You see, we are saved to be conformed to his image. How Christ-like are we in our hearing and in our seeing and in our speaking and our walking? How like Christ are we? We're to walk even as he walked. Are we more like Christ than we were last year at the convention? Do others see us and look at us and see more of Christ in our life? We need a spiritual checkup. We need a spiritual checkup. Now, it would be wonderful this week and we could profitably take a study and think of Christ's ears and his eyes and so on. Other parts, his heart, and etc. But I just want to take tonight the ear. The ear. You see, God spoke. Verse 13, there came a voice. There came a voice. Verse 19, the Spirit said unto him. And here's the wonderful thing. Peter heard. Peter heard. Have you heard the voice of God this week? Do you know that God has spoken to you? Now think of the ears of the Savior. Over in Isaiah chapter 50, there's a wonderful prophetic chapter. And in Isaiah chapter 50, God is saying, behold my servant. And in verse 5 of chapter 50 of Isaiah, this is Christ speaking, of course, prophetically. The Lord God hath opened mine ear. Isaiah 50 verse 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. In other words, Christ And speaking of the prophecy of him coming, he's able to say, I have listened to the Father's plan. And when you read on in chapter 50, you'll hear, or you'll be able to read, what exactly the Word of God was to him. As the Messiah, as our mediator, he would be spat upon, he would be scourged, he would give us back to the smiters, they would pluck the beard from off his face. And when he was here upon earth, in Mark 12, he took his disciples aside and he said, the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem. He will be spat upon. He will be scourged. He will be crucified, but rise again. The Lord Jesus Christ knew the book. In another place he said, quoting Psalm 40, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. The Savior is the perfect servant, the perfect man, God and man. Yet I'm saying as perfect man, he was always listening to the Father's voice. He always heard the Father. His ear was always open to the Scripture. Of course, we could say in one sense he's the writer of the Old Testament and the New. The whole Bible is the words of Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But yet, his ear was open. What an example to us. But he not only was open to the Scripture. When he was here upon earth, his ears were open to the cry of sinners in need. Do you remember the story of blind Bartimaeus? Christ is on his way to Calvary. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. He's on his way to the cross. And here he is going through the city and there are crowds. And someone said, Bartimaeus says, who is it? What's happening? Oh, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he started to cry out, Son of David, have mercy. And the people said, be quiet. Now, can you imagine the throng of the crowds? Crowds of people, we're told. And yet, as the Lord Jesus Christ walked, remember, he's in this journey to Calvary, to Jerusalem, he stops. Do you know what you read? Jesus stood still. You know why? Amid the din of that crowd, with so many people crying out, he heard the cry of blind Bartimaeus. And he actually said to him, what wilt thou that I should do for thee? You know, the Savior tonight is still the same. What do you want the Savior to do for you this week? He can hear your cry. Oh, thank God for the Savior's ears. But I want to go on and think more of us. I want us to think now of the sinner's ears. If you're not saved tonight, the Bible teaches your ears are deaf. You're deaf. Oh, physically, you can hear. Maybe you've attended church for years and years and years and you've heard the words. Maybe you even know the outline of the gospel. But you're deaf spiritually because it's never penetrated into your spirit. You see, sometimes people are speaking and the person doesn't want to listen. And even though they might have to sit there and listen, in their brain, they may not do it outwardly, but in their brain they're humming over or singing or talking because they want to block out the message. That happens. Dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Deliberately trying to drown out the message. I trust there's no one like that tonight here, that you're deliberately trying to drown out the message. As I thought about this early this morning, my mind went to many years ago when, just in the early 80s, we were preaching. It was Carrick Fergus. I remember there was a lady came, a neighbor. We got to know her. She would come regularly. Some other visiting preachers would say to me, there's a lady there, and she had tears in her eyes when we preached the gospel. And one night, I remember, she seemed to be in tears at that meeting, but she went straight out the door. During that week, my wife met her. Do you know what she said to my wife? I was under great conviction on Sunday night. And I was almost going to stay. I was almost going to stay behind. I was almost at the verge of staying to get saved. And I was so convicted. I rushed out of the meeting round to Carrick Ranger Social Club to get a drink, to get it out of my mind. I met her a few days later and she told me the same story straight to my face. Maybe you're not so dramatic as that, but have you heard the gospel over and over again and you just, no. You want to think about anything and everything else, to put it out of your mind. And then this morning, as I thought over this message, it was a great blessing because I didn't have it in my notes as I thought about it before this. And I'd remembered back a wonderful incident. I wish I had it more often. But years, about 20 years ago, I remember preaching. And there were some young lads, I think probably I'd say 20s or around early 20s, late teens. There's one sitting beside a girl. And I looked down and I saw them whispering as we came to the preaching. Two of them were whispering together. You see, sometimes you forget sitting there that if you can see me, I can see you. Do you ever think of that? Don't worry if you want to put a wee sweet in your mouth and not be in. And I remember looking down, and as a preacher, you don't. But I remember praying that morning. The Lord put it in my mind, I believe, and I simply prayed, Lord, bless thy word. Maybe there's some here this morning, and they've come as usual, and they're not even prepared to listen. They've no interest. Lord, speak to them. Well, I was shocked after the service. To be honest, sometimes you pray, and do you really believe God's going to answer? Was out round to the minister's room, and that young fella was there saying, God's spoken to me, I need to get saved. I remember sent somebody round to tell his dad and how they hugged each other and the tears of joy. Oh, listen, if you don't know Christ tonight, you're in a dangerous position, because if you go on deaf, you'll be lost forever. Ah, but the great news is God can open your ears. He's a great physician. Will you not pray at this moment, Lord, open my ears tonight that I will hear your speaking voice and come to you and be saved? That you will convict me? The ears of the sinner. But I want to think of the ears of the saved. The ears. Now, those of you who are saved tonight, why are you saved? Well, I believe I can put it this way, because the Holy Spirit opened your ears. Your ears were deaf. There's a hymn that says, why was I made to hear thy voice? And enter while there's room, while millions make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. 'Twas the same love that spread the feast that sweetly drew me in. Else I had still refused to come or perished in my sin. You know, those of you are saved tonight, we say, thank you, Lord, for saving us. If you hadn't intervened by your Spirit convicting us and speaking to us, we would have went on the road to hell. That's what it means to be saved. God has opened our hearing. We heard the gospel. We heard the story of Christ. But once you're saved, you've become a New Testament priest. Now, there's only one priest sacrificing, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made one sacrifice for sins forever. And there's no such thing as a sacrificing priest. There's some pretend to be. And one of them this week has been appointed as the Dean of the Church of Iron Cathedral. You probably all know that. This week, the Church of Ireland Cathedral in St. Anne's have appointed a Roman Catholic priest to be an ecumenical dean, entitled to lead the singing, read the scripture, and preach in a Church of Ireland church. It's already happened in some others in Northern Ireland. But there is no such thing as a sacrificing priest in that sense. Ah, but 1 Peter chapter 2, Revelation 1, it tells us that every saved person, man or woman, boy or girl, you're a spiritual priest. What does that mean? You've access to God, and you can listen to God's word. You can hear his word, and you can come and pray to him. But you know what happened in Exodus 29 when the priests, a man entered into the priesthood? Remember, Old Testament, only men. Now, of course, every believer. Do you know what happened? There's an interesting ceremony. You read it later if you don't know it, Exodus 29. They took the priest and there were various sacrifices. He was cleansed. In other words, the old clothes were taken off. He was washed. He was the ceremony of consecration. He was clothed and so on. And then they took the ram of consecration and they sacrificed the blood. And then they took some of the blood and they put it on his right thumb. No, I couldn't get my foot up that far, but the right toe. Yes, they smeared his toe with blood. And then they took the blood and they smeared it on his right ear. What is that all about? It's teaching that man that now you're set aside, consecrated to the Lord's service. And remember, spiritually, this is you, believer. Every saved person, you're a New Testament priest. Blood marked. You belong to the Lord. In other words, tonight, every saved person, your ears are not yours anymore. It may be your body, but it's his temple. Christ bought you. You have the blood mark upon your hearing. Of course, the hands, everything you do, feet, everywhere you go. You've been saved to serve, to be the Lord's. Ah, but then you know what they did next? They took the anointing oil, the holy oil, and they put it on the thumb, the right toe, and they put oil upon the ear. Oh, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the ear of the priest was anointed. In other words, the normal Christian life of every believer ought to be that our ear is consecrated to the Lord, that our ear is anointed by God, the Holy Spirit, to listen to God's voice, to listen to God's voice. You know, there's two lovely verses in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 9, I love this verse. There's a verse in 1 Samuel where it says that Samuel spoke in God's ear. Now, I'm looking at a different reference, 1 Samuel chapter 9. But isn't it lovely that Samuel spoke in God's ear? My, what lovely intimate terms. But in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 15, isn't this lovely? Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear. The Lord had told Samuel in his ear. Think of it. The God of heaven, condescending, stooping down, as it were, intimately. You know, if someone speaks in your ear, doesn't it mean they're a close friend? They're coming to have that intimate conversation. And it says there, the Almighty God, he spoke in Samuel, I have a message for you. Oh, here's what we're saying. The normal Christian life ought to be that we've been consecrated by the blood of Christ, anointed by the Holy Spirit, so that this week every believer here will hear God speak in our ear. Will you pray that? Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. You know, sometimes we rush into God's presence and it's as if we're saying, listen, Lord, your servant's speaking. No, it's the other way around. Speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. But then, what about our quality of hearing? Ear tests. I went on the internet and just checked out a site. It's an official site, medical site, about hearing loss. They have a little test you can take. Now, of course, you need to go to your doctor more than a test, but they give you a rough test. Different numbers with background noises and so on. But it was interesting just to check again. You see, what about a medical test of our ears has to do with the quality of our hearing. The quality of our hearing. You see, it's tragic when a person is told to go to the doctor and they don't go and they think they're all right and it turns out they're ill. You see, you could have hearing loss. You could have been dull of hearing. The Savior spoke about those who were dull of hearing. Hearing's getting bad. And you know, that could be you. I love the story of the man. He felt his wife's hearing was getting bad. And he kept saying to her, look, you go to the doctor, get a hearing. No, I'm all right. No, you need to. And so one day when he was at the doctor, he said, doctor, I'm really worried about my wife. Her hearing is getting progressively worse, but she won't come. He said, well, would you just check out a little test for me and come back, tell me how bad her hearing is now. Just speak normal voice. Stand when she's at the sink, stand outside the kitchen door and call her name. Now, if she doesn't respond, move a few feet closer and call her name again. Now, if she still doesn't respond, move right up behind her and call her name again. So he tried that out, went to the door. No. A few feet bent, no. Came right up behind her, called her name. She turned around and says, look, for the third time, what is it? It could be you. It could be you. Could be me. Am I listening? Am I hearing the Lord speak? And then there's such a thing I looked up, selective hearing. It's not so much that the hearing has lost, the ear has lost its ability. They say the man went to the doctor, the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with your ear or hearing. It's just, you just don't listen. And sometimes husbands get blamed. Well, I know we're not going down all that, but sometimes you get blamed. Are you listening? Have you ever said that to the children or whatever? It's said to me when I was young. Are you listening? Have you ears? Do you hear me? Of course you hear, but you're just not listening. I love the story, and it's a true story. It's amazing. A Native American, used to say Indians, was in New York with a friend. Right in the center, if you've ever been there, traffic whizzing, crowds on the footpath. And Indian was walking along, he turned to his friend, listen, do you hear that little cricket, you know, wee insect? His friend said, don't be silly, sure, in the middle of the built-up concrete. No, listen, I hear it. And outside the hotel, there was a small concrete planter with a couple of bushes. And he went over and he searched. And he took the little insect. There, I told you there was a... The man said, how could you hear that insect amidst all the din? Oh, he said, my ear's been attuned to listen for things like that. I've tuned my ears to hear. You hear what you want to hear. He said, watch this. He took a few coins. He says, watch this. Crowds of people passing by. And he just threw them up in the air onto the footpath. My people heard that all right. Wonder's that the problem with our hearing? We hear what we want to hear. Can you hear the Lord? Do you know his voice? I read this morning where Proverbs, the father said to his son giving advice, listen, incline your ear to the Lord. Bow down your ear. Does that not signify we're straining? We don't want to miss a syllable. We want to hear every word. That ought to be our attitude. Lord, so tune my ear that I will recognize your voice. So that I'll not go through day after day, without hearing you speak to me. And Lord, this week, help me. Suffering hearing loss, you know, you get it through different reasons. That's what I noticed in this web page about hearing loss. One of the main ones, I'll just touch on briefly, I already knew this, but I was startled last night, about the epidemic that ears physicians say there will be among this present generation listening to rock music. And by the way, they say on an iPhone or phone, you should never listen to more than an hour a day with earphones to music, or you're destroying your ears. They say if you go to a rock concert, by the way, don't. But people that do, an hour at a concert, they need to take at least 2 days not listening to any music or any loud sounds, or else their ears are going to be destroyed. You probably read things like that. Loud noises constantly. And you know, spiritually, our ears can be damaged. When we listen to the propaganda and the filth of the satanic evil generation in which we live, and our ears are bombarded and we're listening to it. We're not turning away and switching it off and not going to, but we allow that to bombard our ears. You know what it's doing? It's damaging our hearing ability. That's what stops us from hearing the voice of the Lord. My, how many in these days watch these televangelists? Now, I know there's some good men on television. I know that. Most of them are charlatans. And they're getting false teaching. And there's believers sitting under ecumenical ministers. And there's all this pseudo-evangelicalism. And the false teachings bombarding their ears. And they don't recognize the voice of God anymore. See, you can damage your ears. You can damage your ears through corruption, through listening to gossip. You know, in Psalm 15, it talks about who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord. Hills in Scripture are where God revealed himself. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, or taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. What that means, listening to it. Listening to it. But why do people always tell me the gossip? Because I listen. One commentator said, there's some Christians of ears like garbage cans. All the things penetrating our mind. If at time we could go to Ephesians 4 and 5. You know, it's amazing how much Paul spoke to a church. And it was a good church. Ephesus is one of the best churches in the New Testament. And you know, over and over again, he talked about the sins of the tongue. Listen, not to the unsaved out there, but to the congregation. Don't lie one to another. Don't be filled with wrath and speak harshly against one another. Beware of filthy language, of things that ought not to be named, of wrong type of joking. Goes into that in chapter 5. You see, those things can deaden our ears. Why? Because they grieve the Holy Spirit. You have in chapter 4 of Ephesians that. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. How? By sins of the tongue and the ear. Listening to it. Listening to it. We have to be very careful as Christians what we listen to. I'm sure if you're ever on a computer, these scam calls. You know, there's a virus in your computer and all. You know, I'm sure most of you got those. We get them nearly every day until you're sick of them. So usually you put them down, but some weeks ago or a few months now, I just put it in speakerphone, went on working. Oh, now you have a computer. Is that Mr. John such and such? And oh, wait, we're able to tell that your computer is full of errors and the files are corrupted and so on. I said, all right, okay, just let them on. Knew it was a scam. Now, when I began to question, he took the Lord's name in vain. I said, hold on a moment. I didn't ask you to call me. And you've just taken my Savior's name in vain and used him as a curse word. But Mr. Johnson, it's the corruption of your files. I said, listen, what's more important to me is the corruption of my ears in blaspheming the Lord. And I put the phone down. Listen, are we careful what we listen to? Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Because you know what it'll do? It'll dull our hearing when it comes to listening to our Savior. One other one then will come to the test we can take. The sin of disobedience. The sin of disobedience. You know the story of Saul. Samuel came and told him the Lord's word. And over in 1 Samuel 15, 20, you know what he said? I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He was lying. Yeah. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 20, Samuel told Saul the word of the Lord. And Saul said, yes, I heard the voice of the Lord, But he didn't obey it. He didn't obey it. And you know what that did to him? It made him deaf. Well, even worse than that. When you read the story of Saul, where he went to the witch, in chapter 28 and 6 of 1 Samuel, when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. You mark that in your Bible. 1 Samuel 28 and 6. There came a time when Saul was in deep trouble because of the enemy, and he cried out, "Is there not a word from the Lord for me?" And in 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 6, the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams or Urim or by prophets. That's how God spoke in those days. You know, he had so disobeyed. He had deliberately stopped his ears. And when God's voice spoke, he wouldn't obey it. And it came to the place, "You'll hear no more." Oh, we need to take spiritual tests. Let me take them very quickly. Well, what are the tests? Well, I'm told that in tests for hearing, the consultant, he'll ask the person to close their eyes, and he'll have a sound from up here, this direction, from that direction, and see, do you hear that? And he'll have a wee monitor how loud it is, and check your hearing. What direction? Well, let me very quickly give us a test, or tests, plural. Listen, how's your hearing? How's your hearing? The call from above. The call from above. I'm meaning God's voice. You see, back in Acts chapter 10, what happened? The Lord called. You see, in verse 13 of Acts chapter 10, we're back where we started. There came a voice to him. In verse 19 of Acts 10, the Spirit said unto him, and he was listening. The Spirit said, "Go." He had a message. And you know what's amazing? You see, in chapter 8, you have the story of Philip going into the desert to speak to the Ethiopian man. In chapter 9, you have Ananias sent to the same town in which he lived, to another street, to speak to Saul of Tarsus. In chapter 10, you have Cornelius, who left one town and went to another town. In other words, Philip went a long distance to speak to somebody. God said, "Go." Chapter 9, Ananias went to somebody in the same town, another street, but the Holy Spirit told him. He was open. He listened. And now Peter. You see, in chapter 8, 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join yourself to the chariot." Philip ran. I'm interested in them underlined in my Bible. You do it later. In chapter 9, 11, the Lord said unto Ananias, "Go into the street called Straight." And he went. And here in chapter 10, the Spirit said unto Peter, "Go." And he went. Isn't that wonderful? Now, if the Lord said it to Philip, to Ananias, to Peter, is it not reasonable that we can expect that the Holy Spirit will speak to you and to me saying, "Go"? Has the Lord ever laid some person upon your heart and mind to pray for them, to witness to them? If you say, "But I couldn't speak a word." Well, listen, ask the Lord to lay somebody upon your heart and to give you the opportunity and open up that opportunity just to say a word. Oh, it may be just a stammering word. It doesn't have to be a theological lecture. Just a word in season at the right time and the right way. But surely God wants to speak to us as he did to these men. And during this convention, that the Lord will lay someone upon your heart, that he says to us, "Go, go, go to speak to somebody. Go to do some task in his work." Are you listening? Are you listening for his voice? Are you saying, Lord, speak to me and guide me what to do? Guide me what to do. Go, the believer went. These men went, they obeyed. Oh, speak to me. But can you hear, remember, different directions. Can you hear in your spiritual ears the cries of the lost in a Christless hell? I think it was General Booth once said, if he could send all his captains and officers in the Salvation Army for a good training, he would send them to hell just to see it. Now, of course, that can't happen. We know that. But yet we can read our Savior's denunciations against people. We can read his description of hell. We can read his warnings. We can read in Revelation of the great white throne and those that are cast into the lake of fire. But when we read it, are we hearing it? Well, it's one thing to read it. It's one thing to be able to argue, and we would be the first church, and quite rightly, to defend the eternality of hell. You see, there is among so-called evangelicals today annihilationism. And we're living in a day when it's amazing that so-called great evangelical theologians are saying, oh, we've changed our view on hell. It's not forever. It's not forever. No, as a church we say the eternality. It is forever. And the JWs come to your door, of course, they say it's just ceased to exist. We will defend it. And quite rightly, and we ought to be glad we're in a church that'll defend it, not ashamed. But you know, it's one thing to know all the truths and be able to argue it. But do we hear the teaching? Does it affect us? That's what I mean. Can we hear the cries of those around us in our home, in our streets, in Enniskillen, in the towns we come from? Rub shoulders with them so often and never think that they're lost. I read not so long ago, and you read these things often, especially in America, in New York. It was actually a newsreader came out of where he was working, and he was mugged and left lying and injured, and he tried to call weakly, very weak voice, to passers-by. He lay all night with people walking past him. It's only when his wife called the station, and then they called the police that he hadn't come home, they found he was lying injured. People heard, there's a man lying. Walk on by. Do we hear the Savior calling? Surely you've heard of Amy Carmichael, the missionary from Malile, had the church up on the Shankill Road. There's murals of her there. Went out to India. She wrote many books. In one of them, just very quickly, she describes a vision she claimed to have, a dream. It's just a story written where she imagined a cliff and blind people going over the cliff. She only made this story up to describe what she was feeling there in India. Lady that went for years, died over there in India. I'm sure many of you have read some of her books and her poems. And she said, I imagined the cliff and these blind people going over, and here or there, one or two people with sight trying to turn them back. And I noticed under a few trees, there were people who could see, and they were making daisy chains. And I went over to them and said, listen, do you not see the people? Do you not hear their cries going over the precipice? Oh, sometimes we hear the cries, but it's very off-putting, and it's ugly to listen to that, and we try not to hear it. But will you not come and help? Oh, but when we finish our daisy chains. Have you ever read that story that she wrote? Ever read that story? She finishes where they puts these words and the words of those under the tree. It would be really selfish to leave us to finish our work alone of making these daisy chains. Amy Carmichael wrote, God forgive us, God arouse us, shame us out of our callousness. You know what she's getting at. You know what she means. Do Do we realize people are lost? The Lord heard the cry of those that were lost. The Lord has told us to lift up our eyes, look in the fields. I know I was thinking of eyes, but the idea of people that are lost. Do you hear your own voice? That may seem a strange one, but I thought, are you listening to your own reason? Do you ever talk to yourself? Do you ever listen to yourself talking to yourself? You should. I'm serious now. Don't let anybody else hear you talking to yourself. No, did David not say in the psalm, "Soul, why art thou disquieted within me?" What's he doing? "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" He's talking to himself. Now, what I mean by that is he's reasoning. Should I or shouldn't I? And we all do that. That's what I mean. And you see, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." In other words, these bodies of ours, when you think of God's mercy, back in the book of Romans, how we were condemned, and yet Christ came, and through his blood, we are declared righteous before a holy God. We're accepted before God because of the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, because of the great cost he paid of his precious blood to make propitiation for us. And when you think of the fact that we're saved for all eternity, when you think of Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ. Paul says, "Do you know what's the reasonable thing to do? Lord, this body belongs to you. Use it to your glory." In other words, take my ears. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. But practically, you know what it means? I ought to, from tonight, every day, realize when I get up that these ears belong to the Lord. And I will not listen to those things that will dull my hearing for spiritual things. Lord, open my ear. Lord, speak to me. And if we have to admit, Lord, I have been dull of hearing. I do have a hearing problem. But Lord, you're the great physician. When you're here upon earth, you touch the deaf. Lord, touch me. Touch me and enable me to hear. One brother prayed in the prayer meeting before we come in, "Lord, open my ears." What a prayer to finish with tonight. Lord, open my ears. But just as we finish, there's one voice that we need to hear above every voice. Yes, it's the voice of God, but in a special sense. Listen. Listen to the blood of Christ. Can you hear the blood of Christ tonight? If you don't know the book of Hebrews, you're probably wondering what I'm talking about. Do you know what it says in the book of Hebrews? The blood of Christ speaketh better things than that of Abel's. What do I mean? The blood that Christ shed on Calvary, it speaks forgiveness. It speaks cleansing. It speaks victory. Can you hear the blood of Christ tonight? May God cause us to be able to hear. May we say, "Master, speak. Your servant heareth."